constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So we have a contrast here. You've got the church gathered for a prayer meeting in prison. I don't know what the church was praying as we develop the passage. You'll know why I asked that question. You know, we have prayer meetings here, and we should have prayer meetings. But this is a strange situation. The church knows that Peter's in prison. Now, you would gather the church is praying that somehow Peter will get out of prison. But later on in the passage, when Peter actually gets out of prison, the church is surprised that he's at the door. They say it's his spirit. So I say to myself, what were they praying about? Now, when we come to prayer meetings, we would like to think that our prayers are going to be answered and we have something definite that we're praying about. It says here quite clearly that the church was praying for Peter. I know it's a hard subject. This whole matter of prayer. Praying together as a body of believers for something to happen in the lives of God's people. Why were they surprised? The Lord heard their prayers. But they reacted strangely. Did they believe God or didn't they believe God? This is a whole matter of prayer. When we come before the Lord and pray and things don't happen, we say it was God's will. He didn't want that prayer to be answered. But how many times this past month did God answer your prayers? Last week. Carolyn takes swimming classes. She came home from the swimming class and I go to the gym. And she comes home and we have a car where you push a button. There's no ignition key. You push a button. And you have the key in your pocket. If you don't have the key in your pocket, the button doesn't work. So she got home. And that's it. And I got in the car and went to my gym. Came back, she said, my keys are gone. I've lost my keys. I said, I can't help you. I've got to go to the dentist. I had to go to the dentist immediately. When we come back, we'll think about it. So I go to the dentist, come back, and on the way back, I say, Lord, this is a small little matter. Now, this is the way I prayed. I said, Lord, direct me to those keys. Direct me to those keys. Get home. Carolyn said, you'll have to go down to the gym and go down the where I take my, and see if I dropped them. But how could you drop the keys? You cannot start the car without the keys in your purse. So we eliminated the fact that the keys were someplace else. Elimination. Go sit in the car. See if they're in the car. Try to start the car. I'll get out of the way because I've got a set of keys. It'll pick up on that. Car wouldn't start. No remote detected. Comes up. Computer says that. All right. Where are those keys? They're in the house. What do you do? So I said, I'm going into the bedroom. I looked on the side and she'd cleaned our CPAP machines. So I thought, well, maybe she had them in here. And under the bed, no, nothing is. So I got up, and I walked the length of the bed and turned the corner of the bed, and the skirt of the comforter was at my feet. inches from my foot was a part of a key ring. Lifted the skirt. There were the keys. Lord, direct me to the keys. That doesn't seem like much. But I kind of laughed. At the same time, I was serious, dead serious. In a wonderful, simple way, the Lord answered my prayer. Some of you probably have had this happen to you in different occasions. Some of you might say, well, that's, you know, logically, and I know you would have eventually found the keys. But the part of the story that was intriguing to me is I almost stepped on the keys. Lord, direct me to the keys. I didn't say, Lord, help me find the keys. And I think we all need to examine our lives to know when God is working in our lives. That's the next consideration we're going to look at. Knowing that God is working in your life. So what happens? So Peter is kept in prison. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Everything is in place. Peter has no hope. He's got these heavy chains on his arms. He's got two guards and two more. The church is praying for his deliverance. So what happens? Well, this may not happen to us exactly this way. But God is going to deliver his servant from prison. Now we could apply that to other things in our lives. Some of us are having problems with health. Some of you might have financial problems. Some of you have anxieties. Some have depressions. Some we are chained. We need to pray for each other. But in faith, the church is praying. That's wonderful. Now, some might say, you see, it doesn't make any difference if you believe or not. God's going to do it anyway. Not necessarily. We have to be alert to what God is doing. The little story I gave you about the keys. Being alert to the Lord we love in small matters. So the angel of the Lord stood by him. And a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." Now, in our walk with the Lord, there are stepwise procedures. God will act if we act. The angel said to Peter, "Arise quickly." Suppose Peter, I'm just supposing now, Peter had said, "Who are you? What are you doing here? I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I don't feel like getting up. What's going on here?" Sometimes God needs to wake us up. Wake us up to his presence, his direction, things we should be doing. Things we shouldn't be doing. Now, the angel never does anything for Peter. How much are you involved in Christian living? Christian commitment in thinking and feeling? Have you noticed this? The Lord tried to do this with people, and they wouldn't. You know, he said to his disciples one time, feed the people. We have nothing. Why are you asking us to feed them? What are we going to feed them with? And then he had the crowd sit down, and he wanted his disciples to go and distribute the food. He wants us to get involved in this Christian life. It's just not, look, Christianity isn't just a mental attitude. A position you take about doctrine, and it's all in your brain, and it's all hidden. The Christian life is an expression of God Himself. So, the angel comes in the prison. Peter's in chains. And he says, "Arise quickly. Get to your feet fast." Now, for the next thing to happen, Peter has to do that. He's got to get up quickly, or the next part of the story is not going to be happening. So the minute Peter obeys that command, the chains fall off. Can you try to take the place of Peter? Rise quickly. I don't understand. We don't always understand. Because we don't understand doesn't mean we should stop living. Now, well, I understand Luke is an historian, is writing this story. But this is one of the chapters in the Bible where you look at it and a smile comes to your face. It's that kind of a passage. God is at work. Will I see God at work? So he gets up quickly and off come the chains. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." Wait a minute, what do you mean? I don't feel like doing that. What do you mean gird myself? Put your clothes on. Put your shoes on. Am I going somewhere? Oh, we hesitate. God wants to get involved in our life, but He wants us to be aware of His presence. Whether He's speaking to us in our conscience or through His Word or through other people in our daily walk with Him, He wants us to be alert. Put on your garment and follow me. Now, we walk by faith, but here's Peter walking by sight. There's an angel there helping him. So when he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by an angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Oh, come on, Peter. Lord, lead me to the keys. Oh, that's, you're going to find the keys in here. No, no, no. Am I going to accept God's intervention here? Or is this just a matter of logic? How come I almost stepped on those keys? And that's what brought a smile to my face. I'm just being good to you, Bob and Carolyn. I just had a little token of my power. A little token. And sometimes these things escape our attention. God wants to show you something, but you're too blind, you're too stubborn. You're too faithless. We live a life with a God who's almighty. He's ever present. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now Peter thinks, I don't know what's going on here. I know the passage, it's Peter, wake up. You know, as a reader, you read this passage. Peter, what's the matter? Something's happening, wonderfully happening in your life, and you don't see it.
Let's give praise to God. But thought he was seeing a vision. This isn't real. This isn't happening. I had to follow a ghost? Or what? You know, when Jesus was walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost. God wants to do something in your life. Well, that can't happen. That wasn't of God. It was. It was God working little details in your life. We always think that answer to prayer has to be some gigantic event. God walks with us. I always go back to the garden scene. God was walking in the cool of the day. He wanted to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. But they'd sinned. And sin keeps us away from this precious walk with the Lord. Or the precious insight to see that, how come that worked out that way? God's at work. And some of you may have stories. Maybe that something happened this past week. And all of a sudden it dawns on you. That must have been from God. He was showing me a kindness I didn't anticipate. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city. I don't know. This is so beautiful. I think when Luke was writing this or being prompted of the Holy Spirit, it must have been precious. Just writing it like he does. The way it's said here, translated from the Greek. Which opened to them of its own accord. I just like the way that's said. The gate is there. His chains fell off. He's walking with the angel. It doesn't say the gate opened up. It opened up of its own accord, as though the gate had some kind of power. It opened up. No one opened it up. It opened up of its own accord. A personification of God's work in the life of Peter. Now maybe you want to go over your life and you think of your history as a believer and what the Lord means to you, and things happened to you. I was driving back from taking some people home from the chapel. I was tired. And I was coming to this intersection. I had a stoplight. And the cars were going fast. Fast. Both sides. There was a median in the middle. I didn't put the brakes on. I crossed the highway. And the car stopped. I would have had a head-on collision. And I sat in the car. I said, is this a dream? Did something happen? How did I get here? Because I was tired. It was 7 o'clock at night. Had a tough day. To this day, I don't know. I can't explain it to you. All I know is I was coming toward that, and next thing I know, I was through the traffic, into the median, stopped. And I knew cars were going by. That's all I can tell you. I just said, thank you, Lord. Whatever just happened, you preserved my life. I praise your name. Peter. The gate's open. And they went out and went down one street And immediately, the angel departed from him. You're on your own. We work with the Lord. He does things for us. And now he wants us to act as a meaningful, thinking, objective individual. A great deliverance. Peter wasn't enjoying the moment. He thought he was in a trance. The gates open to him. He walks out on the street, and the angel leaves him. Of course. He's not going to live the rest of his life with an angel at his side telling him and helping him and doing everything. This was a special event, a special occasion. Well, finally he woke up. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and he delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Praise God, he came to his senses. And what I'm getting at here is this. Keep your senses alert at all times. Know when God is working in your life. Enjoy the moment. Don't let it pass by. When something wonderful happens in your life, don't stand there scratching your head. Just thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his power, his love. It doesn't say in the passage, now this is interesting, that Peter was praying for his own release. We don't find that anywhere in the passage. Peter had succumbed to the chains and the imprisonment. Peter had realized everything was against him. On the morrow, he's probably going to be killed just like James was killed. But the Lord intervenes. The church is praying. We'll see that in a minute. What in the world they were praying about? They were praying for his deliverance. You know, often I think about this in my own prayer life and prayer with my wife and coming to the meeting to pray. Eventually, nothing now. I don't want to pray for anything now. It's too risky. Your prayers, you know, will God answer? We were in the French meeting. And at the prayer meeting, excuse me. A young man who's has a family lost his job on Monday. He came to the prayer meeting and said, "I have to have work. I have to find a job. Very hard, the kind of work I do, it's very hard to find a job. Would you pray for me?" So the little assembly got together and prayed, "Lord, do you know that this dear brother, he needs a job." Now sometimes, I don't know how you're going to react to this, but sometimes you have to be more specific. Sometimes you do things and you pray ways that usually you don't pray. So I said, "Lord God, he needs a job by Friday. We're praying that he will find work by Friday. This is Wednesday. Would you please help him find work by Friday?" Get a phone call on Friday. "I got a job!" Sometimes you have to do that. That doesn't always happen. I mean, I've prayed prayers and I don't know what happened. Sometimes you get frightened. Man came to the meeting in one of the assemblies we were at, and a missionary came. And he said, "Everything's going fine, but my wife, I have to get home. She has some growth in the back of her eye, and we think it may be cancer. Would you pray for her?" Well, we were going to pray for all the things that he was praying for and asking us. And that was sort of just a hang-on thought. We pray for his, you know, his wife. So I'm struggling now. Where I'm in the prayer meeting. So it was at Tavistock. And I'm in the prayer meeting and I thought, why did he share that with us? So I get up and I'm really struggling. I say, Lord, I'm really struggling with what this dear brother just told us. And so I'm going to ask you something. Would you mind? I'd like to see her healed tonight. Well, I got through praying and one of the young men went to one of the elders and said, isn't that a full-time worker? And why was he struggling so much in prayer? Why is he telling us he's struggling with prayer? I thought he was a man of God. Well, you get criticism for everything you do. But we learned. Whatever was behind her eye was gone. It works. I'm not saying this to say, oh boy, that man, Bob's really a man of faith. No, I'm just saying this. We've got to see the now. Maybe the church was praying, Lord, eventually get him out of prison, or I don't know. But they didn't show that they believed it was him at the gate or the door. Okay, let's go on. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. It's a good thing to pray. I'm trying to get my mind around this. What are they praying for? Is there a time? Now, Peter's already delivered from prison, and I'm going to say because of their prayers. But they needed enlightenment. Now, often we pray for missions and missionaries, but sometimes we're not specific. You know, if somebody's working in Cambodia, pray for the missionary so-and-so in Cambodia and his family. But we haven't prayed for him. If we just pray for the missionary, does that mean if we direct a prayer to Cambodia, God's going to do something great, even though we weren't specific? I'm bringing up things that happened in my life, and I hope I'm not offending anybody by talking about myself, but I was in college, and I had my typewriter. And we got a prayer request from Trifon and Priscilla Kelly-Juglu in Vichy, France. There was a man in the meeting who needed help financially. He needed $100. And I had a typewriter, and I kept that thought in my mind, and so a friend of mine came in and said, you want to sell that typewriter? I said, yes. How much you want for it? $80. Because $80 into the French mark was $100. So he said, I'll buy it from you. And I sent the money off to meet that need. 3 months later, the fellow who bought the typewriter said, I'm curious about something. Why did you charge me so much for that typewriter? There was something on your mind, wasn't there? I gave you the money because I could see it in your eyes. What did you do with that money? I sent it to a poor, needy man in France. He said, praise God. The reason I'm telling you this story, things work together for good to those that love the Lord. There's a chain reaction in our prayer requests. And as we come together to pray, you might be praying, and there's a dear sister who doesn't pray audibly, and she's praying, and God hears her prayer. That's why this group prayer is so important. I don't know who in the prayer is offering the praise and the prayer, the faith in that prayer group. But somebody is, because the prayer is answered. So as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. Now this is a humorous event. Many Bible scholars know that. You read this and a smile comes to your face. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Peter's there, pounding on the gate. She recognizes Peter's voice, and she gets all excited and forgets to open the gate to let Peter in. Now, I find that humorous. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. She goes into the prayer meeting and said, Peter's at the gate. But they said to her, you're beside yourself. It's hard to see this. But this is what Scripture's saying. Here's this group of people who love the Lord. They're praying. Peter's pounding at the gate. Rhoda doesn't open the gate door. Comes in and said, Peter's out there. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now, we need to have a meaningful conversation with each other when it comes to the matter of walking by faith. Let's say that in your Christian experience over the past year, you have not seen anything miraculous or out of the ordinary. Everything's been as it should be, everything decently in order. And then another believer comes and says, I had this wonderful experience with the Lord. What are you telling me about it for? So you're defensive because you don't have that same experience with the Lord. So you feel left out, and instead of praising God for the person sharing with you, you're critical. You're defensive. It's not happening to you. If it doesn't happen to you, and after all, you're a person who knows everything, if it doesn't happen to you, it can't be happening to you. So the poor Rhoda comes in and said, Peter, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what's going on here? It's his angel. He's dead. We're being notified of his death. Or whatever. It can't be like you're saying. But motioning to them with his hand. Wait, but now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I can't believe it. God actually answers prayer. Come on. We believe that God answers prayer. But when Peter's standing there, it is Peter. It's not his angel. Rhoda was right. We were wrong. Ha ha. They're astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent. Now, I gather there was a lot of mumbling or discussion or noise because he motioned them to be silent. Who's that? Is that really Peter? What's going on? I don't know. Wow, this is unbelievable. God, wow, what a word. Quiet. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. So he goes over the facts. And this is why I had a little talk with the elders today. This declaring the facts to the other believers is something we need to do together. This is like the fellowship of the body of Christ. When God is working in your life, that's an encouragement to me. When God is working in my life, it should be an encouragement to you. Peter takes time now and tells them exactly what happened in prison. And I'm sure he talked to them about his own attitude. He thought he saw a vision, and the doors opened all by themselves. I mean, all the little details for their encouragement. And he said, go and tell these things to James and to the brethren. And departed and went to another place. And he said, I want you, now you, to go and tell the leadership. We talked about James already, the brother of the Lord Jesus, how he had a prominent place in the body, in the local church. He said, go and tell them what took place and how I was delivered from prison. Now, we don't want to make up things. I told you a little story about finding keys, which was a delight to my heart. Why tell that story? Peter recounts what God did in his life. And we need to hear this from each other. What God does in my life, what God does in your life, it may not seem too much to you. Isabel lost her glasses. And we went to visit her, and we looked everywhere for her glasses. Now, my prayer wasn't strong enough. She found the glasses without my prayer. I asked her where they were, and she remembered, finally, where they were between those two monkeys or whatever they were that she had on her stand, and they were tucked in there. But I'm glad she found her glasses. It was a day late, and Percy made a joke out of that. I thought that was cute. Well, the Lord was just a little bit slow in answering. But it's little things. We need to share that together. And this is what Peter does. He motioned to them with his hand to keep silent. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And we need to declare to each other what the Lord is doing in our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for a wonderful Savior and Lord. I know, Father, that you're concerned about all of our lives. You don't want us to be in rebellion or to live sinful lives or to give in to the flesh. We know that you don't want us to live according to the old man, but the new man, which is in Christ Jesus. But you're a patient God. And a loving God. And you do care for us. And you want us to see your hand in all the little details of our lives. And help us as a praying group to pray with faith, believing that you're going to do wonders for those for whom we pray. We give thanks for this day and for this time together. And we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.